So let's talk about your most recent project.
It's an action film.
Like, yeah. Did you jump off buildings and stuff?
The film is very action-packed.
My goal is to just do gaming and hopefully reactions. How long does Botox last?
Immediately, I couldn't move my face. I couldn't move these, like, up and down, but I could move this.
You're, like, smiling, but you're like this.
No.
I don't have the energy to go crazy anymore.
I want to box a lot. There's a reason for that. The first one is to fund getting a wedding ring.
Do I care if you win or lose? Not really. I just care about you leaving the ring safely.
I've just always been like, in my head, I'm like, when I die, I die. Princess Alexis! Welcome to the show!
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking us, taking time out of your busy princess schedule.
Anytime.
Make time for this podcast.
Anytime. I love this podcast.
It's so nice of you to join us. Yeah. Prince Roy, do you have any questions for Princess? Wait, does that mean you guys are married? No.
No.
That just means I'm you're from separate prince. Kingdoms.
Yes.
Prince Roy, do you have any questions for Princess?
Yes, for sure. I have a question about just acting in general.
Yeah.
So growing up, because I think about this all the time.
Yeah.
I never pursued acting because I was just scared of rejection.
Yeah.
But like, what was the time in your career or in life in general where you're like, okay, I need to pursue acting?
That's a good question. I think it came right after or like right around my almost senior year of high school. I did competitive cheer for years and years and years.
Sure.
And I was coming to the realization that there was nothing in school that I was passionate about. And
same.
Yeah. And then with cheer, there's no shelf life, right? Unless you're going to like become a coach.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do with it. You know, once you get to a certain age with cheer, you start getting older. You don't really, you can't really tumble anymore. There's only a selective amount of teams you can do. And I just was like, what do I want to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going into cheer practice one day. It was for tumbling, and in the same building there was a acting and modeling agency.
Mm.
And my dad wandered in and was like, "You should try this out, and you know, see if you like it." And I was like, "Okay." And so
You've never acted before that moment.
Never did anything.
Like watched a movie. You're like, I could do that.
School plays, no nothing.
No, I never did any like drama in school or anything like that. No, we went in. I took one little like improv class, and I was like, whoa, I'm good at this. This is fun.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. And then the company was like, you should come to New York with us. And there's like this big talent thing that we all go to every year called IMTA.
Mm-hmm.
And you just meet a bunch of agents and managers and you perform like monologues in front of them. And I decided to go.
Were you scared? Because seeing that, like you talking about like talking to agents, that already made me nervous and
honestly,
anxious.
Honestly, I actually wasn't as scared because I had done competitive cheer my whole life. So I was always on stage in front of a bunch of people. Like, what's the worst that can happen? I get rejected or fall on my face. I've already done that before. So it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't a big deal to me. I was just kind of like, yeah, why not? And then I ended up performing monologues and I saw this one agent and I could just tell he was like very knowledgeable. He was kind of a shark. And I was like, oh, he's a really good
agent.
He's
a shark?
Like a shark. Like he.
Like an animal.
Yeah. Like he just goes after what he wants. He's very knowledgeable. Like he's just like someone I'd want to be represented by. And I remember he was talking at a seminar and the next day were callbacks and what it was like this large room and there were just booths everywhere. And the booths would be like you would get callbacks from different booths. So you'd go to the booth.
Mm-hmm.
I saw his booth, but I didn't get a callback from his booth. I stood in his line anyways.
Yeah.
And I had my headshot and I literally just slapped my headshot on his desk. And I was like, I don't have a callback from you, but I saw you at the seminar yesterday and I would love to be represented by you. And I just sat down. Slapped my page on the thing, slid it towards him, and he was just like, oh. I was like, yeah. And he was like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 17. He was like, all right, well, if you're ever in LA and you turn 18, let me know. And I was like, Okay. A year later, I went to another seminar.
Yeah.
Here in California. It was my first trip to LA. Another sort of, it was like a smaller version of it where you got to meet a bunch of agents and managers. Yeah. And my mom and I wrote up an email to him saying, hi, we're going to be out in California. If you want to come to this like showcase, let us know. Or if you'd love to grab coffee, we'd love to, you know, reconnect. And he got himself into the showcase, saw me do a monologue, ripped it to shreds. Almost made me cry.
Oh,
it, like I thought I did so bad. He was like, try it again. Do it this way. And I was like, okay. And so he would give me notes and I just kept taking his notes and applying it. And right from there, he was like, you listen and you work very well. And I feel like we'd be a really great team.
There you go.
And wow. Ever since I've been with that agent to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dedication. And, I don't know. You knew.
Yeah.
From firsthand, you're like, oh, that's the guy who will help me.
It really was crazy. Yeah. Very, very full circle. And he's sort of like a father figure to me now, like second father figure. Like my dad had met him when I first signed with him. And, you know, they shook hands and my dad was like, you take care of my daughter.
Wow.
Because my dad was still living on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really like a second father to me now. He drives me crazy.
So let's talk about your most recent project.
Yeah. I can't give out too much information because it's still actually not completely finished.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say there are some big names attached.
Y'all.
Yeah, there are some really big names attached. And it's an action film.
Oh.
Which was so much fun. So much fun to shoot. It was like the one genre that I was like, I would like kill to be in an action film.
You can't talk about the genre? Oh, it's action film.
Yeah, it's action. Yeah, it's action.
Yeah.
It's an action film, which I was dying to do. I mean, I had done rom-com. Mm-hmm. I had done horror. I had done all these, you know, other things, but I had never done like a real action film.
Was right it before everything you thought it would be? Action-y? Like, yeah. Did you jump off buildings and stuff?
I didn't jump off buildings.
Okay,
and
I was
stuff.
Like, dang, that's actiony.
I didn't jump off any buildings and stuff. But I will say the film is very action packed. Like it's the definition of like an action film.
So
like
right before she filmed it, she was like, "What kind of movie would you want to see me in?" And I was like, "Action, that'd be cool." And then she went to the action.
And it was funny too because I was like, "What would you want to see me?" And he was like, "Action." And I was like, "That's actually what I want to do. I love a good action film."
Yeah.
My dad loves a good action film, and I was like, "I'd want to do something that like my dad would like love to watch."
Wow. When is it coming out?
We don't know yet.
You don't know yet.
Hopefully next year.
Hopefully next year.
But it's already shot and filmed.
For the most part, 90%. I think maybe 95%.
Okay.
I think we literally have a tiny bit more to go. It's just been hard because some of it was technically reshoots, and so it's just getting, you know, the cast to come back, and you know they all have busy schedules. Like I said, there's like big names attached, so to get them to like come back or you know figure the scheduling out, it can be quite difficult.
Dang, that's amazing! Congrats!
Thank you.
Wow! Thank you. Clap your hands! Yay!
Thank you. Yeah.
So you have that happening very soon. I'm super excited to talk about it. Yeah. You know, when it does come out.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen it yet, but she has seen the first cut.
Yeah. I did see the first cut.
And
were you like, shit?
Honestly, it's not even done, and it was better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
I want to wait until it's completely done to see it for the first time. I'll never see it again for the first time ever.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool. But as of right now, we are still transitioning into vlogging, to vlogging.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start doing some more. We did like a Target challenge for Christmas. We have a bunch of videos coming out. But I'm super enjoying vlogging. Are you enjoying vlogging?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's not a huge deal. Like I feel like it's just what we do every day.
Yeah, we just film it.
You just film it. Yeah. So I feel like it feels really normal to me.
How do you feel about the comments? Because people have opinions. Because we only let them see certain little parts of our life, so they just form opinions, and then they're very vocal online because they're hiding behind a screen, so they can say whatever they want.
Right.
So sometimes we get mean comments.
Yeah.
Why?
Sometimes they're like, Team Lauren.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, still. Yeah. Get over it.
I know.
But there's a lot. And like, she's really good at just being like, oh, yeah, it's just probably some 5-year-old, some, or yeah, whatever, some, yeah, some kid. Yeah.
Some like 50-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, like, I try not to let it get to me. I think that's also just part of like the job, I guess.
Yeah.
Is like,
yeah,
I think for a long, I just have thick skin.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I did competitive cheer. I had shoes thrown at me at cheer, yeah, practice. Like, nothing really gets to me. I think it would be more hurtful if, you know, someone said something along those lines and it was someone I knew. Or, yeah, like, you know, then I'd be like, okay, let's have a conversation about this because that hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But when it's someone that doesn't know me or, like, doesn't know us or, you know, personally, and, like, mm-hmm, I can't take it personal because they don't know me.
Yeah. What are some mean comments that you've seen?
I don't know. I actually can't really think of that many on the spot.
The most common one is how I talk about marriage all the time, and people are, yeah, like, stop dangling marriage in front of her face. And I'm, yeah, like, guys, she's not a damsel in distress. She's not desperate for marriage. We're just both excited about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people are like, oh, stop dangling marriage. If you're not gonna propose, stop talking, yeah, about it. And I'm like, dude, I can talk about whatever I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our life. We're both excited. We're just not at a place to do it yet.
Yeah.
But we both know it's coming soon.
Yeah.
So simmer down.
I think it's exciting to talk about those future plans because you've realized, like, you're at a place in your life where you're like, wow, I found my person.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. So it's cool to, like, talk about what our future entails. But, like, I'm not waiting for a proposal.
Yeah.
I have my own life. Like, I do my own thing.
You have a whole kingdom to look after.
I have a whole kingdom to look after.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just think, like, I'm just, you know, waiting on you to propose.
Yeah.
And I feel like people also forget that we've only been together 2.5 years, which is, I feel like, at a place where it's like, yeah, it's been a while, but it's still quite newish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like we've been together 5 or 6 mm-hmm, years and I'm like, okay.
What's your longest friendship again? Don't tell me. 3 years?
Just under 3
me
years.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, right under.
And then, wow,
we both, we actually figured it out. We both broke up with our long-term situation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Relationships.
After, like, right under 3 years.
Right under 3
oh,
years.
Wow.
Both of us, right under 3 years. And then, yeah, right before we got together, she broke up with her guy in like November, and then me and my ex broke up in November, and then,
yeah,
it was a few months, like 4 months, yeah, after, or 5 months after that,
mm-hmm,
and we're like, no way, we're so similar.
It is interesting because I feel like a lot of the times people will say, like, you know, right person, wrong time. I don't think that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it's the right person, it will be the right time.
Yeah.
And
it was the,
like,
wrong time when we met, but it just wasn't our time.
But it just wasn't our time.
Yeah.
And so it didn't work out,
yeah,
until it did. And, yeah, I feel like that's when it was truly meant to happen. And I really think that everything does happen for a reason. Cause he always, yeah, says to me, he's like, I've been waiting forever. Like, if you would have just figured it out sooner, we could have been together for a long time by now. And I'm like, yeah, but
we would have had us running around already.
Yeah. But I also don't think that it would have. It might not have worked out.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
true.
You know,
yeah,
the timing wasn't right. Like,
yep,
you were still young. You were still figuring it out. I was still really young. I was still figuring it out. I think that we met each other at a time where you are in a place where you're like, okay, I'm, like, ready to, like, settle down and, like, find my person. And I've, like, matured a lot in those, because I'm younger than you. I've matured a lot.
No, you're not. We're the same age. So we agreed that we put our ages together and then we split it in half and we're both 30, but she keeps forgetting.
I'm 28.
You can't agree to it and then change it.
Alex,
you
you're older, bro.
One. No, I'm not. We're the exact older. Same age.
Anyways, I'm 28, but I feel like the person I was when I was 22 or 23 is very different from who I am now. And I think,
yeah,
you were meant to meet me at the version that I was when we met.
Yeah, you weren't a stinkle yet. And now you're a stinkle.
Now I'm a full-blown stinkle.
I'm a full-blown stinkle.
Do your language is so confusing. I can never understand your language.
They speak this language. I always just don't know what to say. I'm just like,
It's called lek-lek.
Lek-lek language, of course.
It's lek-lek.
Yeah.
No, you don't know lek-lek?
I do not lek-lek.
Yeah.
I pimple with dimple and pimple.
It sounds like that.
Imbo at the end of a lot of things. So what is shimbo?
Shoes.
No, shower.
Oh.
What is slimble?
Sleep.
Yes. What is timble?
Tickle.
No! Dude,
that's what I'm saying.
Limble.
Limble is...
There's multiple ones for this. Limble? Too.
Yeah,
limble. I know limble.
No licking.
That's one of them.
That's one of them.
And the other one is...
And no lying.
Oh! Really?
Yes.
See,
wow. He'll fart and I'll be like, did you just fimble? And he'll go, no. And I'm like, ah, no limbo.
Yeah.
No lying.
Now you know.
You guys are silly. See, the thing I don't understand with the mean comments, like, you guys are yourselves. Like, this whole thing, not a lot of couples have. And just seeing you guys do your thing and then people just saying mean comments are just projecting, even with, like, a whole marriage thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, a healthy couple communicates about marriage,
right?
They talk about it, right?
Yeah.
It's not wrong to talk about marriage and the future and other things.
Yeah.
And what's going to change getting married now or getting married 2 or 3 years from now? Like, nothing's going to change that. You know what I mean?
I think the thing is, from their perspective, they are assuming that we only talk like that on camera. We only talk about marriage on camera. We only tease each other about kids on camera.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all the time.
Yeah.
They think we're just doing it for the camera.
No.
We're just filming our normal talk, our normal lek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now you know. Secret's out. How old did you think you would be when you got married when you were a kid?
27.
Really?
Me too. Yeah. I think 28. I was like, ooh, when I turn 28, I'm gonna get married.
I thought I was gonna get married young. I thought I was gonna be like 25, married.
Okay, raise your hand if you thought you would have a kid by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I super did. And then I was like, oh, that's not the timeline.
I definitely thought, but it's crazy. It's just the environment you grow up in. So in North Carolina, everybody gets married young. Everybody has kids young. So you just think, oh, that's what I'm going to do.
My parents were young. My parents were teen parents. My mom was 16 and pregnant with my brother. And then she was 18 and pregnant with me. So I had young parents. And I always just was like, I kind of wanted to resemble that a little bit. Not as young. But.
Were you on purpose?
No.
I don't think I was either.
No, I super wasn't. My brother wasn't either.
I feel like 75% of the kids were not on purpose.
I don't think I was on purpose too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my parents were also young. You beat my parents, by the way, like age-wise.
Yeah.
Because my dad was 18. My mom was 21.
Still young though.
Still young.
But together, they're 19 and a half.
You're... 33.
No, I'm not.
34.
I'm 30. We're both 30.
Okay, bye.
But I liked having young parents though, because I'm really close to my parents, and I feel like we're super tight knit because, in a sense, I almost feel like we kind of grew up together.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and like my mom really is like my best friend, and my dad is also like my best friend. My dad and I have a really special, different relationship, and then my mom. I mean, Alex knows I call my mom every single day.
Yeah.
And she truly was my best friend growing up. I didn't have a lot of friends.
Yeah.
My mom was my best friend.
It's literally like low-key having like an older sibling.
No, it is.
Like have like my parents, I'm like, oh, my mom's kind of like my older sister.
But I'm still scared of my mom.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm petrified of my mom. My mom is a Latina woman. My mom does not play.
Okay, okay.
My mom does not play around. So I still feel like... It is a good balance where I have a lot of respect for my mom and both of my parents. I have a lot of respect for them. You know, they gave up their childhood to take care of us. And, you know, my brother and I never wanted for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there is still that level of respect that, like, they really did do everything for us. So I will always have the utmost respect for my parents. I love them so much. But at the same token, it was just nice because I really felt like I could tell them anything, you know?
You know what's crazy?
What?
I met her parents, that's cool. And they were like, oh yeah. And she was like, oh yeah, they're this age. And I was like, oh. And then she's her age. And then we found out I'm directly in the middle.
Of what?
Of their ages.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, so they're, I'm 7 years older than you and they're 7 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're six years older than me.
And then there's,
they're
6 years old. How old are they again?
No.
Wait.
No, you're not directly in the middle.
No, wait. I'm directly in the middle of something.
You're directly in the middle of something. I don't remember what, though.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, wait.
Was it?
How old are they again?
I'm confused.
My parents are 47.
Oh, wait. So I'm not directly in the middle. What?
Why did we think?
I think we're confusing something.
We must be.
Yeah, I don't know. Never mind.
Okay, I'm confused. I'm like, wait, 6 years older, 40. Your mom's 40?
No, they're 47.
I think that was one of the main things that made me want to have kids younger, because I was like, oh, I want to be young when they're young. I don't want them to be able to beat me in like a foot race or like basketball until they're like 20. But so if we have kids at like in like 3 years, I'll be 37. Gulp. and then I'll have kids. So then by the time they're 20, or the time they go to college, so 18, I will be 55.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad age, though.
It's not a bad age,
honestly.
But I'm going to be rickety.
I will say, though, I think I would prefer to have it this way. Like, by the time I do have kids and get married and do all that, I really will have felt like I lived my young adult life to its fullest extent before I really decided to settle down and, you know, give my life to raising my children. And I feel like when that time does come, I'm going to have no regrets. It's going to be like, okay, this is that time in my life. I really lived out my young adulthood, and now this is the time to really focus on my family and raising my family. And then once that's done, we'll be a little bit older, and then we can kind of enjoy our time again.
But I feel like we're going to be like, all right, we're going to get married, and then we're going to be ready to have kids. And as soon as we're about to have kids,
yeah,
you're just gonna get nonstop roles.
You're gonna
get like boom, boom. You have to go to Australia for 6 months. You have to go to Canada for 3 months.
I'm like, I know.
And then you can't be pregnant because you're filming this thing. So then I'm gonna have to be pregnant because it's like 2030 by then, and that's science.
Yeah, science. I would love for that.
Like
science.
A seahorse.
I would love to have that.
Timing. Just like timing, man.
I would definitely do it. If I could get pregnant instead, I would do it for you, and I would vlog it.
Yeah. You're vlogging it.
But where's it going to come out at?
Your pee-pee.
Oh.
That's fine. I would do it even if it came out my pee-pee.
You guys are crazy.
I would do it, and I would do a C-section.
C-section?
I mean, if that's the only way, if in the future they're like, science, you can get pregnant.
C-sections are kind of traumatizing, though. Like, yeah, some C-section stories are like really traumatizing.
Like, they have to take out the intestines and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like
and
a whole thing.
It. Yeah.
I'll do it.
I'm on C-section TikTok right now.
But I think that like, the thing that's nice about acting specifically, it's hard because, I mean, you really saw me sort of go through it during that lull where there was like a strike. And it can be really hard because, yes, when you get a role, you get paid a lump sum, but you don't know when you're going to work next, you know, unless you are, you know, Florence Pugh or you're Zendaya or you're, you know, these people who are just, you know, constantly working, they're mega stars.
Yep.
Like, unless you're at that level, you don't know when your next job is going to come. So that's sort of the downside. But the upside is that acting does have a shelf life. You can do acting till, I mean, look at Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Look at, what's that guy that we watch all the time in Shrinking?
That's Harrison Ford.
Yeah. There's another guy I'm thinking of. What's his name?
Harrison
Ford. Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
Like, look at all these, they're older actors.
Morgan Freeman didn't start acting until he's like 70 or 60.
50.
Right.
50.
50? Yeah.
He didn't. And like, they're still going strong, and it's not laborious work, right?
Yep.
So you can do it forever until you're ready to be done. It's nice because I'm like, yeah, I could have kids. Like, you could still do all of that, but it's not like, oh no, I'm like wasting time.
Yeah, it's but if we were trying to have kids and then your career starts booming, and then we would probably have to wait a little bit longer because you got to take advantage of the momentum.
Yeah.
And then, but then after that, then you can like Margot Robbie did. She's like, boom, 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 boom. Okay, baby.
Margot Robbie's only like, what, 32?
Yeah, 33.
But she 33? Like just popped off for like however long, from Wolf of Wall Street to Barbie, and then she had a baby.
Mm. Yeah.
Pretty good, pretty good. I got to pee now.
Okay. You know what I was just thinking?
You got Pumble?
No.
What?
I was thinking while I was peeing. Going back to the
What's
comments
peeing?
Thing. Pimboing.
Yes.
I was thinking, going back to the comments thing, I will say, mean comments, I feel like the comments themselves don't bug me. You know what does bug me?
Uh-oh.
Is people commenting these things not realizing that I'm a person, like a human.
Yeah.
And that I have like feelings.
We're just TV show characters.
Like, luckily, I am someone who doesn't really care. Like, it's fine. I don't take it to heart. But I feel like people don't put themselves in my shoes or someone else's shoes and thinking like, it probably wouldn't feel great if I had people all the time like bringing up my ex. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they don't think about that and they just sort of treat me as if like I'm not a real person. Luckily, like I said, it doesn't bug me, but I think it more so bugs me that they just don't like, they kind of dehumanize you in that sense.
Do people bring up your exes?
Your exes.
Oh yeah, my exes. I'm saying, yeah.
But what if someone was doing that to them, like in their current relationship, and someone was, or people were constantly bringing up your partner's ex partners?
Like, imagine probably, you're just like a normal person. You're just in high school, or you're just like walking on the streets, and some random person comes up and says, "I liked you and your ex better."
Yeah.
You'd be like, whoa, what?
Who is it? How do you think about that? Or like, you know, you post a video with your current partner, and you have people commenting, being like, "Nah." Lauren was better. You know, like, it's, and it doesn't, it, I don't take it personal, especially because specifically with Lauren too, I like Lauren. She's
great. Like Lauren too.
But like, they don't put themselves in that position and thinking like, what if that would happen to me? You know, like,
I think the,
how would that like, make me feel?
I, comments never get to me either unless they know me. So in the Lauren instance, she talked about our relationship so much, for 4 years. And I was like, at the fourth year, I was like, hey, can we like, can you stop? Mm-hmm. And then she's like, okay. After, it was a little bit convincing. She's like, okay. And then she stopped.
Yeah.
But there were so many I would just get sent clips from like podcasts, from challenges, from Truth or Drinks, from everything. Just little jabs. And I was like, oh, that's worse than all the comments.
Yeah.
Because she knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that part annoys me more than anything because it does feel kind of dehumanizing.
Yeah.
Where it's like they just really see me as just like a character in your story and not Alexis.
Yeah.
Is a human.
Sometimes
and
viewers
this is
don't
her
care.
Real life.
They don't see that line or that boundary at all. They just kind of just
think that makes me more sad.
And a lot of times the reasoning behind mean comments or whatever is because they like to think that you're thinking about them. Even though you're not thinking about them, you're just thinking about the words. You're not thinking about, you don't know who it is. You didn't go to their profile.
Yeah.
They just like, and they, it's a higher chance of you engaging with them because they said something out of pocket and they're like, oh, she'll say something to this.
Which, I don't engage with that stuff
because
I know that that's what you want.
That was Fousey's problem in the past. He would just give attention to all these
the haters,
mean comments. He's reading the comments, and I was like, dude, they're gonna keep going because you keep talking about it, you keep like obsessing over it, and they want to be the one you're obsessing over, so they're gonna keep going,
right?
And so there's a lot of people in my past that were like, could not handle it, and I was like, guys, it's not a big deal.
It's mainly just people, like self-entitled people wanting to control the story they can't have.
That's
really it.
Yeah.
That's the truth to it.
Yeah. And recognizing that that's what it is and really getting down to the root of it. I think that's been important for me is just realizing that it has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because they don't know me. So it couldn't be personal. Yeah. There's no way it could be personal because they don't know me. So.
That's great. I'm glad that you're approaching it that way and it's not letting you bothering you.
But to those who do comment that, I just would suggest thinking about that person as a human before you comment something and how that would make you feel if the tables were turned.
I love reading comments. I read almost every single comment on every podcast, on every video I post.
Yeah.
At least for the first 48 hours.
Yeah.
I probably have seen every comment, but I don't think I've ever commented on a video of someone I didn't know.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever once commented on a YouTube video of someone I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a little different. Like, it's a little easier for us to say because we're sort of in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We don't, for the most part, wish for the life of people who we do the same sort of, like, content and stuff
as. No, I mean, not mean comments or anything. I just, even on other people's Instagram, I've never posted on an Instagram page of a celebrity or somebody I didn't know ever. Yeah. Not once.
Dang, I do.
Really?
Like Justin Bieber, he posted a video. I was like, congrats, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
I don't know. I just never do.
Of a celebrity? I don't know if I have. I might have. Maybe like Hailey Bieber or something. I love her style. If you watch this, I love your style, babe.
What'd you say? You said fire?
I don't know. I don't know if I have, but I'm saying if I did, it probably would be something positive.
Yeah.
I
don't follow people that I just would like dislike. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I've sent out a couple I love yous to Justin Bieber.
Oh,
here and
that's
there.
Cute.
I'm sure he saw that and smiled.
Yeah. Absolutely he did.
Yeah, for sure.
He was like, oh yes, guava juice.
That's my guy.
I'm sure he reads every comment for the first 48 hours on every picture he posts.
I think he does.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's
millions, bro.
Yeah, but he's a speed reader, I heard.
Oh yeah,
I heard Canadian. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, Canadian.
Where are you at in baby journey?
Me?
Yeah, in the kingdom of Prince Roy.
We'll see. Surprise. So, we'll see. We'll see. Timing.
You think you can handle four dogs and a human?
Yeah, dude. I have so much time now.
What if you are just like hanging out and then you forget which one is dog, which one is human?
Then that's a real parent right there, baby.
You're gonna just feed them next to the dogs. You're gonna put.
Oh no, I don't know. I'll know visually.
Yeah.
Like name wise, it might be confusing.
Yeah, it's a lot of names.
Yeah, a lot of names. Right, do it to the dogs already.
Do you have a? Oh, you don't want to talk about baby name or
baby name? Nah. Surprise. I'll be surprised.
I wouldn't either.
Well, what was the last one you said on camera? I think it was like months or seasons or something.
August?
Yeah, August.
Nova?
You don't think that one
nah,
anymore?
Nah. I don't know. You moved past it. We'll see. It'll just happen.
If you did name it, name him or her or she or they, one of those. If you name one of them.
Watch your mouth. Watch it. You're going to get canceled. Bad.
I'm kidding. I just don't know all the pronouns. Kidding. Whatever pronoun it comes out to be.
Shook.
You're going to be like, okay, dinner ready, Callie. Oh. Oogie, oh, Chopper, August. Come here.
It'll happen, man. I learned not to think about it too much. It'll come when the time comes.
Yeah, dang, we're gonna be, we actually just had a Friendsgiving, and we were sitting at the table playing like just poker with like quarters, and we're like, whoa, remember when we were the little kids running around and we'd run up and be like, hey, Dad, can I have this? And they'd be like, yeah. Check.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. I understand the dad's point of views now since last time. I'm like, this is killing. I'd rather do this than run around nowadays.
And, yeah.
And we hosted, and I really felt my mom in that situation where I was like, oh, I understand, like, doing a deep clean of the whole house before having people come over. And as a kid, I was like, oh, Mom, who cares? Like, no one cares if the house is clean. Yeah.
Even
I was like, 10 years later, and I'm like,
she was like, she was like, we have to deep clean. Everybody's coming over. And I was like, I think we can regularly clean because we're going to have to deep clean after. She was like, no, let's deep clean both. And I was like,
I got to say, I noticed. Really, I was like, ooh, it's clean. Yeah. It smells good. Everything's like all organized. I noticed.
I will take credit. I busted my ass yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Cleaning the house. I will say, though, once I get into a groove, I actually really enjoy cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
When the strike was happening with acting and stuff like that, and you were here pretty much full time, I had like not much going on, and it was really stressful, and finding a job was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Nannying was like super slow at the time, and I would literally just spend my days cleaning the house.
No, it's therapeutic.
It is therapeutic, and just like having that space, feeling like it's like clean. I just feel it's calming. It's calming, mm-hmm. and I wanted Alex to be able to come home to a space where he could just like come home and relax after being at work and not feeling cluttered or chaotic, mm-hmm. or you know, I wanted it to feel like, oh, okay, I'm going home to like a safe space.
You know what bubbles are for in a bathtub?
No.
What do you think they're for? I always thought it was
for your farts.
I thought it was just,
oh, that's cool.
I thought it was just soap.
I thought it was soap, right?
Yeah.
I found out there's a reason for bubbles. I thought people just did bubble baths because it's just, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
It keeps the water warm.
How?
It puts an insulation layer on top.
Oh.
And it's, bubbles aren't good heat attractors.
So it traps it.
It like blocks it in. Yeah. Then it's not very good at insulating, like catching heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it deflects heat too. So if it tries to go to the bubbles, it pushes it back down.
Interesting.
And so it keeps the water 15 to 25% warmer.
Wow.
Yeah.
No way.
And it stays warmer for long, like a few, like only like 5 minutes, but
it stays long. When's the last time you took a bath, though?
A bath or a bubble bath?
Either.
Neither in years.
Yeah.
I think last time I took it was for when I was going to fight iDubbbz, which is like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I had to lose 3 pounds. overnight. Mm-hmm. And my coach is like, just go sit in a hot bath. And yeah. I sat in a hot bath for 20 minutes and I got out 3 pounds lighter. I was like,
yeah, it's kind of inconvenient. The amount of water you have to use.
That's a water bill. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ugh.
I used to take a lot of baths when I had a bath. I had a bath in my apartment. Mm-hmm. I think your old house didn't really, we had just a regular shower.
Yeah.
And then our house before we lived in this one, the other one didn't have a bath. And then this one also, it does, but it's in like the guest bathroom.
I haven't taken one at the current place, but
me neither.
Next time I take a bath, it's definitely gonna be bubble bath.
Yeah.
For sure.
Going back to like decluttering and stuff, I gotta do say, like, ever since like we stopped like Wasabi, we had more free time, we didn't have to go to office. Mm-hmm. Decluttering has been, I've been doing that so much more.
Yeah. Because
there's something freeing about like making sure everything's clean before starting on something.
Yeah.
It makes you do better.
You know the poop test?
What?
The poop test?
With
decluttering?
Uh-uh.
So the poop test, I've been following this my whole life and it super helps. And it really just clarifies if I really need this or not. The poop test is if this thing, whatever object you're looking at that you're thinking about getting rid of, had poop all over it, would you throw it away or would you wash it off?
Oh.
And if you would wash it off, then you keep it. If you would be like, ooh, throw it away.
Yeah.
Oh.
So like anything.
That's actually
anything,
a good idea.
Yeah. Because like if you really want it, you would clean it off.
Right.
Yeah. But if it'd be like, ooh, it's not worth it. Like if it's a piece of clothing, I would probably throw it away. Like whenever I poop myself, I just throw the underwear away. I never wash it.
Wow. I started doing that. I usually do the 9 month test.
What's that?
If I haven't used it in 9 months.
Yeah.
See, that's will I poop hard on it? For me.
Yeah.
You should poop on it and then decide after that.
Yeah.
That's hard for me though, because like I still have pieces of clothing that I had in high school, but if I have like an audition that calls for a certain like style or certain something, I go back to it. So I'm like, maybe I won't wear it in like my everyday sort of, you know, clothing, but I will sometimes like use it for something completely random. And I've a couple times gotten rid of like a bunch of clothes and then I'm like, oh, I should have gotten rid of that. Yeah, because I would need it for like an audition or something stupid.
I'll usually put clothes away and then when it's time to declutter, I'll be like, oh, okay, let me look through all these clothes and I'll find a shirt that I wore for like 5 years, but I haven't worn that shirt in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and then I have another 5 years with that shirt. So I get excited again. I'm like, yeah, I love that. Like this shirt, I actually saw a clip in a podcast. I haven't seen it in like 3 months. I saw a clip in a podcast. Where's that shirt at? Some fan page posted it. And I went to go look for this specific shirt because of that clip. And I found it again.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it in the closet?
Yeah, it was in the closet. It was at the bottom. But the problem is I have like a normal size torso. But then my legs are long and my arms are long.
Uh-huh.
So no matter what I wear, you're going to see like usually on the bottom. Usually my legs are super long. So it fits everywhere else except for here. And it goes to like here. It's so frustrating. I hate it.
Oh, no.
My legs are so long.
You're the only one that really, I feel like, harps on that.
I hate cutting my toenails. It's so hard.
You ever
it's so
done,
far
like,
away.
Tailoring? You should get longer pants and just tailor it.
Yeah, but that's every pants.
Yeah, that is.
What if I poop
on
it? Am I going to throw it away or am I going to keep
it? It depends. Yeah, then you ask yourself that question.
It's a lot of work. Like, remember when I used to cut your toenails for you? And then one time I nipped him pretty good and he didn't let me do it after that.
She nipped me. So I let her do my eyebrows and probably like once every 6 months she'll pinch me. I'm like,
The other day it happened. I guess I was like moving really fast and he said I was just thinking about it. And then I nipped him and he was like, I was just thinking about how you're moving really fast and I
it's been a while since you got
it's
me
it's been a while since
and she got
I
me
pinched him
got you me. Guys are so cute. Oh my god, how can people be mean to you?
Yeah, you ever do you have any friends that just come up with hypothetical situations all the time out of nowhere?
No, I've never.
I do.
You do?
My best friend.
Who?
In fact,
Chopper?
You, ding dong.
Oh, me? Do you ever come up with hypothetical situations?
Do I come up with hypothetical situations?
Yeah.
I'm not much. Maybe when I drive, I need something to think about.
I sent like this clip I saw to my roommates, Pablo and Alexis, and I was like, is this what you guys hear when I talk? And they were like 100% yes. And the video was this guy like, hey guys, what would you do if like a meteor hit the earth right now and blew up? What would you guys do? What would you do? What would you do?
He does that.
He's like, what would you do if like you got ran over by a car but your crush saw you? And he'd be like, oh, I would get up. And I was like, I don't say those you things. Do. So then I asked my roommate, I was like, what have I ever said that's similar to that? And Pablo said, he's like, dude, you ask these things all the time. I was like, no, but these don't make sense. He's like, what about that time you said that scenario if... What if Canelo Alvarez came over to your house and said, I'm going to kick your dog if you don't stick this burrito up your butt. Would you put it up your butt? And I was like...
I was there for this conversation. This actually happened. And the dog was Coda.
Would you?
Would I?
What would you do? Yeah.
Shove it all away.
Me too. Yeah. And then Pablo was like, why don't you just fight him? I was like, because then I'm going to fight him, get beat up, lose. Then I have to stick a burrito in my butt. I'd rather just do the burrito.
No, then you say he's going to kick my dog anyways.
Yeah, then he's going to kick the dog. So like...
Take the shortest,
just A to B.
Consequence.
Yeah.
I was like, he will come up with these scenarios out of nowhere all the time. And then we'll repeat to him what he just said. And he'll go, I didn't say that.
The other day, Paul was like, oh, yeah, my parents are coming to pick me up. We're going on a road trip. And I was like, hey, if they get here and I walk out the door and it's like from our door to the street is like 30 feet. I'm like, how close do you think I could get to the car before they recognize that I'm not you? And he was like, dude, immediately. I was like, what? Are you sure? Like, you don't think I could get, like, at least to the car door? He's like, no. As soon as you walk out, you're like, that's not my son. And I was like,
Did you try it?
I would. But he was very sure. He's like, how long would it take your parents to recognize that I'm not you if I walked out? And I was like, you'd probably get all the way in the car, man.
Really?
And he was like, really?
Really?
I was like, yes, because my whole family's ADHD. Like, we're not even going to look up. We're just going to stop, be like, hey, we're outside, and then wait for you to get in the car, and then probably start moving, and then as soon as you said a word, that's when they would realize you're not me. But until you speak, they might just get home. They might get to the destination.
That's so funny.
Think so you would shove a burrito up your butt?
I would. Yeah, I would.
Prove it.
Give me a burrito.
I use this bottle.
That's not flexible. That's not moldable.
Okay.
I feel like I'm interrupting
after
something.
Podcast. No.
After the podcast.
Experiment. It's trial and error situation.
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand.
Can we go back to your acting story?
Yeah.
I'm
so
interested. So after the agent.
Yeah.
You were 18?
Yeah, I was 18.
When after did you book your first role? And how many attempts did it take?
Oh, a lot.
But
when I started, I was pretty green. Green meaning like new.
Wicked?
Green. So green. Green in acting terms is like
new. They say green in boxing
very
too.
New.
Oh,
green.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. They'll be like, oh, I would do self tapes, and my agent would be like, yeah, you looked over to the side. That's green. And I'd be like, oh, okay. So I was figuring it out. My agent, he acted very much so like a manager.
Yeah.
So he would actually take the time whenever I would get an audition to be like, hey, why don't you come and we'll work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would work on auditions with me. And I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the craft. Like, I worked really freaking hard. It took, I want to say, I booked my first role in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been doing it at that point. I had lived out in California, I want to say, for like over a year at that point.
Oh, wow.
So it took a long time, and I had gone on a lot of auditions. Yeah. Yeah. And it was, it's actually crazy. So I booked a, what's it called? A guest star on a Disney show.
Oh.
And I booked it. I show up to set only to find out I was a body double.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was really sad because they didn't frame it that way when I was in the audition process.
Yeah.
They gave it its own name. You know, it was very normal. They were like, guest star, you know, for this role, whatever, whatever. And then I booked it. You know, I was super stoked. And then I get to set and I was like, I called my agent and I was like, I don't think I'm like on camera. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't think I'm like in the show. Like, I don't think you're going to see my face. He was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I was like, I think I'm a body double. But they needed someone who could act because you had to do the run throughs and like hit jokes and like act a certain way because you're still being used as the quote unquote body double. So like the movements needed to be there, the sort of physical comedy still needed to be there because they were using your body.
So, that should be illegal, by the way.
Oh yeah, I was really, I was kind of devastated. Because I was like, this is my first job, and you know, whatever, whatever. And it turned out being that, but it's okay. And then I booked my first film, probably like 5 or 6 months later, maybe less. And that's where I like truly found my love for film. Wow. I love film.
What film was it?
It's actually a Lifetime film.
Okay.
Called The Other Mother.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the first film I had ever booked, and Lifetime is crazy. We knocked out that film in a week.
Jeez,
the whole film.
Was it stressful?
No. Well, here's what they do. They use the same sort of team, so it becomes a very well-oiled machine. They'll just like switch directors and actors, and it becomes a very well-oiled machine. They're just knocking out projects. They use like the literal same team. So everyone just like works and gels really well together.
Oh, wow.
They just like knock things out. It's a formula.
That's how the Tyler Perry movie, The Boo Halloween.
They just knock them out.
Me and Fousey and JC and a bunch of other people were in it. Yeah, and I think he like beat the record for fastest movie filmed.
Yeah.
It was like 2 weeks or one or 2 weeks, and there's a full movie is done. And it's because he has like, he bought like this retired military base, so he has all these sets and all these things,
and he's just like go.
Yeah. And every single scene, one take.
Yeah.
He was like, good enough, moving on. And I'm like, dang. Like it was like go. It was crazy. Tyler Perry just so fast.
In the YouTube world, that's Darman.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But so. it's also interesting though, because I went from doing a film like that to doing a film like The Half of It, where the director was also the writer producer. So The Half of It was really like her baby.
Yeah.
Like it was like that was her child.
Yes.
And so there were points where, I mean, we would, if she didn't feel like she got what she wanted out of the scene, we would be there all day. She didn't care. She was very like, she was just very precise in what she wanted. And sometimes if I even like missed a the in the sentence, she'd be like, well, the is there for a reason. Let me explain to you why. Oh. So it was very like, where a couple of the films that I had worked on before was very like, you know, they were like, say what you want. Like, you know, even if you want to flub the lines and, you know, say something that you feels like, you know, sounds better, but still gets the point across, do it. And so that was really interesting, like going from a set that's just very like, let's go, to a set that's very like, okay, here's what we're doing. This is the intention. Let's do as many takes as we need to get where we need.
Did you like that?
I loved it.
Yeah?
But I also think I loved it because that's why the product of the film came out the way that it did.
Yeah.
Like we all worked our asses off on that set.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being so precise. I mean, we have like a 96 or 97 on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. We won Tribeca in 2020.
And every LGBTQ month comes around, Pride month.
Yep.
Boom, number one on Netflix.
Yeah. I think it was one of the top LGBTQ films on Netflix, and it was a Netflix original. But I just don't think the film would have been what it was without the director being
passionate
and meticulous and precise as she is. Shout out to Alice Wu. She is brilliant.
Mona and I watched it again.
Yeah.
Half of it.
You did?
The second time. I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
We put it on for dinner and then we're like, oh, let's just finish it. So we just finished it.
It's so weird. I'd like to go back and watch it sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, oh,
I think I watched it for the first time. I think I was on a date. We weren't talking then.
Yeah.
And so I think I was on a date, and then I was
like, did you realize I was in the movie? Or you just picked it?
No, I wanted to watch it because you're in it, but I didn't tell her that I knew you. I was just like, let's watch this movie. It looks good.
Alex.
What? That's not bad. I was like, let's watch it. And then I think it was just a random date. It wasn't like somebody I was talking to. It was just a date. And then we were like hanging out at the house, and I was like, oh, let me find something to watch.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that movie was coming out. And then it was out. And I was like, I really want to watch this right now. I didn't know it was out, but I'm on a date, but I really want to watch it. But it's not bad just because I know somebody that's in it. Yeah. I feel like it wasn't bad to the date or to you.
What were your thoughts? when you first watched it?
She kept talking. I was like, shut up. I'm trying to watch the movie right now.
I'm like, okay, yeah,
but
it's fine.
But I remember being like, whoa. And then there's a part where you slap, and I was like, oh! And then I think I probably watched it again before we hung out. And then I watched it again with you because I wanted to watch it with you. And I was like, hey, I want to watch it with you.
Yeah.
And so then I watched it with you. So I probably watched it 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ooh, you love her. Ooh, you guys are so cute.
Is that what you were thinking the whole time on your date? Were you like, damn?
No, I was thinking, shut up. I'm trying to watch the movie.
And then I said, okay.
That's crazy. Now you've got a poster of it hanging up in your house, and you are dating the lead actress in it.
There you go.
There you go.
All day. And then I met the cast, too. I met
Daniel,
Leah. And Daniel. And then Daniel's really cool. And then he just got a role in Poseidon that he posted about. We
Not
can talk
Poseidon,
about, right? Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson.
The second season?
Third season? Yeah, he's Cyclops.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's Cyclops. Oh. Yeah. So he's like half human, half Cyclops? That's going to be cool.
Daniel's awesome. We interestingly enough, though, when we first met on set, we actually didn't gel very well.
Really?
Yeah. We had like a moment on set, and he made a joke, and I didn't like it.
Oh.
And it was kind of awkward the first probably like week or two of filming. I don't think I've ever talked about this. That's crazy. It was kind of awkward. And then we ended up having a conversation, and now we're thick as thieves. Anytime he comes into town, he comes and hangs out with me and Alex for a couple of hours, and we catch up.
What was the...
I'm not going to say what it was. I don't...
Just say it in Lick. Say it in Lick.
No, it's not. it's not important. It just... I think I didn't know him. I didn't meet him. We didn't chemistry read. I chemistry read with Leah. Yeah. I didn't chemistry read with Daniel. So when I met him for the first time, we were in New York about to film. And so I knew nothing about him. I didn't know his humor. I didn't know any of it. So he said something and I took it very personal. And it was probably on me. And he was like, it was also on me. Like, I now realize that you didn't know my humor and you didn't know that I was joking. And I was like, I probably took it a little bit too personal, you know, and we definitely had a conversation about it. But it was really funny because for that first week, it was weird, but it kind of worked because in the movie, right, all my chemistry is supposed to be with Leah.
Yep.
And so when we had sort of like those awkward scenes, it was really awkward. And it really, I feel like, helped play in to sort of like the disconnect that our characters were having, where it's like, how is it that, you know, we can like text and, you know, message each other and be so, you know, like things are amazing and we connect and you really get me, and then we are in person and
What's he going to say again?
And it really, I think it did really work in our favor.
Okay.
And it's great now because he's lovely. And yeah, he's we awesome. Get along Aww. Really great.
He came over and right before he got the part for the Cyclops and Percy Jackson.
He was testing for it.
He's like, yeah, I'm trying out for this half Cyclops, half human. I was like, dude, you definitely give Cyclops vibes. And he was like, thank you. And I was like, I don't know, man. I could see you as a half Cyclops. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, in my last movie, I was a werewolf. And I was like, but you're white. And he was like, werewolves can't be white. And I was like, wait, I guess they can. I think Twilight brainwashed me. I thought in Twilight, like the whole world thinks you have to be tan, like this tan, like werewolf, and then the white guys are vampires. But it wasn't always like that. I was like, oh, you're right. I was brainwashed by freaking Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, but he came over right before he booked it, and then he had posted that he booked it, and Alex and I were like, we freaked out. We were like, oh my god, no way. Yeah, we were so excited for him. And then Leah's on Matlock.
Oh.
Like killing it. Yeah. I think it's CBS.
And she was the voice on Elemental. Right?
Elemental too. She was
the fire girl. Yeah.
She was, yeah.
I still watch it.
It's so awesome to see all my cast members just killing it.
Mm. So 2025, what's it looking like?
Oh, good question.
For both of you.
Good question.
You. And me. Let's start. Nose goes.
Oh, it's you.
I don't know. I feel like I'm in like this kind of transitional sort of phase in my life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like...
Waiting for this movie to come out.
I
think it's going to be probably summer or end of next year.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a summery movie, though.
Mm. Yeah. But I'm just really hoping that it does what I think it's going to do, and it can at least just give me some momentum and propel me into sort of like set hopping. That's sort of the dream, just to be set hopping. But in between, things just really slowed down, even in the industry right now. It's probably, since the strike, the slowest it's ever been.
Yeah.
So I got my certification in Pilates. Yeah, so that's been fun.
I've been going freaking to a lot of classes.
Yeah.
I'm still sore from the last one. That was like 4 days ago.
I teach his wife. I teach Roy's wife.
Yeah.
She comes to my classes and...
And Roy and me.
Yeah. I haven't gone yet. I've been on the wait list twice.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't gone to an official class of mine yet.
Oh, yours.
Yeah.
I was going to, but then I gave Carlos my spot.
Yeah.
Because the wedding.
The mock class. But you haven't been to like an official class yet. Yeah. Monette came to my first, I think, official class this week. So I just really needed something to fill my empty time with. I feel like I can be a little restless. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm definitely like a homebody and I love being home, but to some extent I get a little stir crazy, and I was like, I need something to just like, that I'm passionate about, that I can make money doing. And it just so happens that we went to one of the Pilates classes with you guys, and we ended up continuing to go, and I met the owner, and she was like, come get your certification. And her and I just gel really great. I've become really close with her, and she's gotten me on the schedule, and I've been using that to sort of fill my time. And I was already working out every day anyways, right? So I might as well make money doing it.
How long does Botox last?
What a segue.
Does it last like 3 months, 6 months, a year?
That's a good question.
I've done it once.
Why? Where are you getting at?
I think I'm going to do it again.
I think I'm going to get it too for the first time.
Because she's getting it. I've never done it. I might as well do it for funsies.
I've never done
it. But I remember looking crazy for a little bit.
I'm like, scared though. I'm scared. I look
crazy. I did it for the All-Star Escape the Night.
Like, I know. The movie, I saw the Escape the Night poster.
You can tell?
You look angry. You're like... You're like smiling, but you're like this.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. It's because this point, like, I did the minimal amount. I told the doctor, I didn't even go to do it. I went with a friend that was doing it, and she was like doing their face. I was like, you want some? And I was like, okay. And then she's like, here you go. And it was free. And she's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, cool. And it was little tiny things. And immediately I couldn't move my face. But these, I couldn't move these like up and down, but I could move this.
I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. I think how much you work out factors into how long it lasts, how much you get put in, how often you're going back. Like, I think there's...
I'm only
going
to do it once. No, and I'm going to do the minimal amount.
Then I don't think... It probably won't last that long.
Probably 3 months.
And you'll still have movement.
I think it'll look funny for like a month, and then it'll look good for like 2 months, and then it'll go away.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing it.
In
2025,
right? No, and I'm sorry, this year. When we go visit her
family. 30 more days of this year. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to just, because they do say that once you start seeing certain lines, it's preventative to keep the lines from getting deeper.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start like baby talks, like just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit to like keep the lines from getting worse.
They say that, crow's feet. They say that guys should be getting preemptive Botox, which is the smallest amount you can get, around like 30, and then girls should be getting it at starting at 25. And I was like, whoa.
Says who?
I don't know, science. I don't know. That's when like your skin starts like not like, I don't know, starts like wrinkling.
Say that?
Yeah.
No. But they, I think, said, they say you reach,
that's
your
what
peak,
the doctors say.
You reach your peak beauty as a woman at 23.
Whoa.
And things then start going downhill.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I think for guys, it's like 26.
Yeah.
I think because we stop growing at 25. And then we just start looking more like sophisticated
and rugged.
I feel
like that's what I don't like. Because I don't like that when guys get older, it's like very like, ooh, he's becoming a silver fox. Like,
even like with dad bods, like dad bods, they want, they're like, oh, it's okay to get
out of
shape. And
then women, they gain weight and they get lines or they start to show age and people are like, oof. It's like, what? Why is it great for men and not for women? Very on par.
Well, with Botox, I saw a thing that said when you get Botox, it does stop all the lines that you usually have, but then you start making other lines. But since you never work on those for like 20 years, it doesn't matter. Because those lines won't make a wrinkle.
Oh.
And so it'll just give you a break on these wrinkles and people are like, oh, but what about the other wrinkles it makes? But those don't matter. They're not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go away. Mm-hmm. They're not even going to settle into wrinkles. They don't have enough time.
The other ones you've been working on for however old you are.
I'm worried. I'm going to look crazy.
I'm
going to start 2025.
I want to.
Yeah,
I want to look crazy.
Yeah, I know. I don't need it. That's why I did it the last time. I didn't need it. Yeah. I just was like, why not? That's how I got veneers. That's how I got Botox the first time. That's how I've tried everything. But I want to try it.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about it. And then you could be like, you could test it out. You'd be like, move this. Or you can pull something and see if it bounces back. And be like, boom, boom. Yeah. I'm down to do fillers too, just for funsies. I don't know what I would fill.
Filler is where it gets a little dicey.
Oh, I did do fillers one time.
You did?
Where?
I got it in my jaws. Because really? My friend was going, he was like, I'm going to do it. I was like, oh,
so
me too.
Probably still in there.
No, they only last.
No, but it never fully, like, unless you get it dissolved, they don't fully go away. It just migrates to other parts of your face.
I still have filler in there?
Yeah, that's why when you see a lot of these celebrities and stuff, when they get filler, that's why they get, like, puffy face, because the filler migrates.
Well,
unless you get it dissolved,
it doesn't
go away.
Well, it was right here, and my jawline looked nice. It looked too big. I look like a crimson chin. But after the first like couple weeks, then it looked good. I'm like, dang, every angle is just like cut. Because they didn't do anything except for fill it right here to make this little like right angle harder.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And it was really nice.
I think that's the one thing I won't do.
But that means it's still in my face somewhere?
Yeah.
Do you know if it's dissolved?
I didn't get it dissolved.
Dissolved and non-dissolved?
No. So there's different types of fillers. I think there's two different types of fillers, but you have to get it dissolved.
You have to go and then they put something in to dissolve it. But
to dissolve it. That's what I'm saying. So if you didn't get it dissolved, it's just like kind of whatever's left of it is migrated into your face somewhere else.
Oh, went to your butt.
I don't know. I think it'd be cool. I would do that again just for funsies.
Yeah.
It's all for funsies. As long as it's temporary, I'm down to try anything once, except for some things.
Well, what's up for you in 2025?
Yeah.
Well, I want to make slime.
Okay.
Slime's pretty fun. But one thing I wanted to do back in 2017 that I didn't have time to do to learn the skills for is to play at Coachella.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
I have a little DJ set. Creative thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
You can just bring your own. You just won't be invited. You just be in the crowd just playing something. Just bring a speaker
set. It doesn't have to be a big crowd. Just like my own little booth. Like,
you guys ready?
I feel like you can make that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I think they'd be lucky to have you.
Yeah, for sure. They should have me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be my first time in Coachella.
So Uncle Guava's going to be your main focus for 2025?
Well, my goal is to just do, gaming and hopefully reactions. Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy to go crazy anymore. So.
I'm surprised I haven't been invited to an Uncle Guava video yet.
A gaming one?
Yeah, I want to play games.
Let it grow. I'm going to let it grow first and then I'll invite you.
All right.
Yeah. I would love to have you though.
What are your goals for 2025?
I want to box a lot because I want to use that. There's a reason for that. And the first one is to fund getting a wedding ring.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cause I went pretty much all in for Wasabi Productions. I super believed in that. I spent a lot more than I should have.
I did too,
cause I was
bro.
Just, yeah, we spent like,
yeah,
like eight figures. No, seven, seven figures. Sorry. Seven figures each.
It was stressful.
Yeah.
Was
and stressful. I was like, oh, I believe in this. And then it failed, but it's okay. We learned lessons, but now I'm okay. I still have whatever I have, but I would like someone else to pay for the ring. And that would be Misfits. So so that's, I want to fight. First fight for the wedding ring. Second fight pays for the wedding. Third fight pays for a baby.
House.
How do you pay for a baby?
House. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Third fight is for house. Fourth fight is for baby.
Yeah. And I want to do a little traveling in between.
Okay.
Which is
fifth
why
fight
wanna,
is for traveling.
Which is why I want to book. I want to book too. I want to be on set. I want to make some money so we can, when we do get married and do all of that, I would love to, spend a little bit of time traveling before we do have kids.
And
it becomes hard.
I've never really boxed for money. So this is the first time I want, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna box for money now. Because first one was just because Deji asked me to fight, which really set me on the path of boxing. I would have never probably boxed if it wasn't for Deji. So then second fight was for charity. Third fight was for Nick because he wanted me to fight. He needed somebody to fight with him. I was like, I got you. So I've never really cared how much I was getting paid. I would just, they would say a price. I'm like, okay, cool. Now I'm gonna be like, negotiate, get in the ring. Bow, bow, bow. Oh, if the money's right,
ring for ring,
we
gonna
be there on
fire. Ring for ring. Yes, yes.
So hopefully the Botox dissolves by then.
That stresses me out.
But then maybe I won't feel it. Like if I'm in there, I'm getting punched in the face, I won't feel it because I got Botox.
Like rubber, boing, like Luffy.
Yep.
Boing.
That stresses me out.
Well,
you being in the ring that much.
Why?
I don't know.
It's okay.
Just, it's just stressful. Just thinking about like you getting hurt.
Boxing is not as bad as people think. Like it's scary. It's like, oh, you're going to get punched in the face. That's not good. And nobody likes to get punched in the face. And most people don't get punched in the face.
Well,
but it's not as bad as you think.
But Roy, you remember me.
Yeah.
The last fight.
Yeah.
Remember?
How was she it? Was wrecked.
She was.
She was. Oh, wait. It's different. It's easy for you to say that, but if you stand in our shoes, seeing you, someone you like, you know, love and care about, getting like beat up, and I don't know.
I didn't it's eat different. The entire day. I didn't eat.
The crazy thing about it is you don't even feel any of it.
It doesn't matter.
Like you're either.
There's still the chance that you get hurt.
Yeah, you guys feel it.
There's still the chance that like me, your significant other, is in the ring. You could get hurt. You could get brain damage. You could really get hurt. And me thinking about the fact that like you could be hurt, and especially when I'm not there.
Yep.
The last fight, I couldn't go.
Yep.
I was banned.
Yeah.
And just thinking about you getting hurt and I wouldn't be there stressed me out more than anything. I'm like, do I care if you win or lose? Not really. I just care about you leaving the ring safely.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest concern. And especially if something did happen and I wasn't there, I think that would kind of break my heart a little bit.
I've just always been like, in my head, I'm like, when I die, I die.
I don't like that.
But in my head, I'm like, oh, when I die, I die. So that's why because I know whatever situation I die in, I'm going to do everything I can to not die. I'm like, why not? So on a roller coaster, I'll put my hands in the air because if I'm going to fall out, there's nothing I could do about it anyways.
I think that's easy to say because right now you don't have a wife and kids. I think things will change when that does happen because I feel like right now you are technically really living for yourself. And I think that's going to change when you have to live for other people.
Yeah, but it's still like, if I'm going to die, I still can't do anything about it.
Right. But if you die in the process of doing something that you chose to do is a little different. Like, I feel like you wouldn't willingly go and do something to put yourself in harm's way when you have a lot more at stake than just yourself.
So you don't think I'm going to box when I have kids?
I would hope not.
Oh, really?
If you wanted to do it like casually, I think.
What if it was like a? For
I don't
like
want
a,
you to be a fighter.
What if it's like a good paycheck? They're like, oh, well, if you fight this guy, we'll give you this. But I have a kid.
I guess. I mean, look, we had this discussion yesterday. You're your own person. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life or what to do. Of course, I'm gonna advise you because I love and I care about you, but. Ultimately, you're your own person. You make your own decisions, and that's inevitably going to be up to you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how I feel about it. You can take it into consideration.
How did you feel about your dad fighting that one time? Her dad, like, got asked
there.
To fight. Oh, how old was he again?
I wasn't there. That was only, like, a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. And then he was like, you should fight. And he's like, okay. And then he boxed this other guy and knocked him out.
What the?
But he was, like, 40. He's in his 40s already.
My dad, I will say, my dad's a G. My dad's one of those people. I mean, he's done hard labor his whole life. Like, my dad's in construction. He owns his own construction company. My dad is, he's got like that brute strength.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. My dad,
that's cool.
Like, my dad can also scrap. Like, my dad has been in fights when he was a kid. He played football. He's just one of those dudes who just naturally is very, very strong. He would carry shingles up on the roof. And it's funny, like, the people he would work with, they would be carrying shingles up on the ladder and they'd carry one and my dad would walk up with like three or four and they'd be
dang.
How are you doing that? And even now he's 47 and my dad is like one of the strongest people I know. He's just naturally brute strong.
He was just born with it then.
He's just, And then, of course, like his work makes it even, more aggressive because he's like working out every day. Like he's weightlifting, you know, that's basically his job.
Her dad was like, when he met me, he was like, oh, thank God. And I was like, what? What do you mean? And he was like, finally, somebody that's not just some scrawny, skinny dude. And you can fight. Thank God you can protect her. Like, she has never dated somebody that could protect her. What the heck? Apparently, they're all just skinny, like white dudes.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
That's why he loves that. He definitely did say, he was like, I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't have to worry about you when you're with Alex.
And he texted me after my last fight. He texted me and was like, yo, you won that. You looked like you're the only person that knew how to box in there. And he was like, directly after the fight, I'm in the locker room.
My dad
and I'm just reading
Alex.
His text. And I'm like, oh, that's great.
My dad loves Alex. I do think, well, I also think this is the first relationship that I've been in that has been so solid and healthy.
Aww.
And like, you know, he's never seen Alex like make me cry. You know, he just treats me really well.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, he knows that I'm protected. So I just feel like he just loves Alex so much for that because he just sees how happy he makes me.
Yeah. You guys are so cool. You saw that communicating with the fight and then going segue to the parents and the love with the dad and then just
bubbles
communicating.
You guys are so cute.
And the Botox. Yeah. All right. That's all we got for you guys today. I think we should have you on more often. Just like, even if it's not about you, just on and just commentating.
Yeah.
About things.
I would love to come on with Monette.
Oh, yeah. Monette. Clear your schedule for 2025.
Isn't it crazy though? Monette and I have gotten really close in the last year. Through like Tiny Plant Room and stuff. Like she's become one of like my closer friends.
Yeah, she would say the same.
One of my closest friends. Yeah. I adore her. So I would love to do one with her.
Oh, okay.
All right. Stay tuned. Come back. Do it again. Subscribe. Like us. Like me. Like her. No more mean comments. Let's get Botox.
Okay.
Bye.